sit in your office at homicide and you wait.
This is the seventh night, Vic.
Yep.
The longest he's gone so far has been 7 nights.
The longest he's gone. A strangler of young women. A man who kills for no apparent reason. A mad, savage killer. Homicide. Yeah, Vic Weston speaking. Go in. Yep. Yeah. Right.
Vic?
Another one, Cliff. She's still alive. They took her to the hospital. Come on.
I'll be back in just a minute to tell you more of tonight's story, Assignment in the Dark.
We interrupt this program of dance music for a news flash. The suburb of Collingsford was again the scene of a vicious assault tonight. Once more, the victim was a young woman. She was found in a serious condition on Wilson Street. She is in St. Andrew's Hospital, where doctors describe her condition as most critical. This is the ninth attack on young women in the past 2 months, and the first time the victim was still alive when found. Police urge all women to stay off dark streets and ask that all persons who see suspicious characters to report to the nearest police station immediately.
I hope we're able to talk to that poor girl in there, Vic.
Yeah.
She may have got a look at the guy.
Let's hope so. Here's the doctor now. Can we talk to a doctor?
I'm sorry, Sergeant West.
She's...
We did everything possible, but she was too far gone.
Oh, no. Number 9.
The girl's parents.
And that's where we're going now. Come on, Cliff.
Yes.
I'm Sergeant Weston. This is Detective Brooks. You were phoned about your daughter being...
Yes. What?
She's...
Not...
Yes. I'm very sorry. Take her out, Cliff. Yeah, this chair. Sit down, Mrs. Borden. Can we get something for you?
No.
Are you all alone here?
My husband's away. I wired him to come back.
How about some neighbors?
No, I'd rather be alone. Please, please go, Sergeant.
We can't leave you like this. Cliff, phone for a doctor.
Right, Vic.
June.
Oh, June.
Mrs. Borden, I don't like questioning you at this time, but I must.
There's nothing I can tell you, Sergeant.
Your daughter, there may have been some man in her life.
Everyone liked June. No one had a bad word for her.
Some man she was engaged to, perhaps?
She was only 17. She was a good girl. There's no reason for anyone wanting to hurt her. Oh, why did anyone want to do that to her?
Not one clue. Not one.
Yeah. 9 girls who didn't even know each other. It's got to be the work of a madman, Vic. There's no other way to explain it.
He's mad. He's a shrewd one.
And the police psychiatrist figures he might be schizophrenic. You know, highly respectable.
Yeah, I know, I know. That makes the case nice and easy, doesn't it? All we've got to do is examine about 2 million people.
You know, there's still a pattern in.
We checked that over and over. 8 of the girls were brunettes, but 1 was a redhead.
Yeah, but they were all young, pretty. And don't forget, all the attacks took place in the same area. Could be that the killer lives around there.
It could also be that he lives 30 miles away.
I still keep thinking of the pattern angle. A guy who's got a grudge against women. A certain type of woman. Hey, you got the photos of those girls handy, Vic?
Yeah. Yeah, this folder.
Yeah. Now, these photos are in black and white. Yeah. Which is the redhead?
Here.
Sally Morton.
Ah. Now, this is a red. And she looks like a brunette in this photograph.
Only a color photo would bring out the red hair. You should know that.
Yeah, yeah, but the point is her hair looks real dark in this photo. Like it was auburn. Otherwise, it'd show up a little lighter. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it would.
See, then that might be the pattern. In the darkness, she'd look like a brunette.
Yeah.
Now, look. Each of these girls was young and pretty. I know it's a long shot, but... Well, we've got nothing else to work on.
A man with a grudge against young, pretty brunettes, huh?
A man whose grudge has turned to blind hatred. Who looks for girls who resemble the first one.
Yeah.
It could be, Vic.
All right. Right, Cliff. Let's work on it.
Taken for a ride by a pretty brunette, eh?
That's right. That's what we're looking for.
Now, that's a funny sort of case for the homicide men to be working on, ain't it?
It has to do with 9 stranglings in this area.
Oh. Oh, well, I'd like to be able to help you on that, Sarge. Now, let me see. About a year ago, there was Millie Wilson. She was supposed to marry Phil Stringer. He owns the corner garage. But she left him waiting at the church. She was a brunette.
Young? Pretty?
Well, not pretty, but... Well, as for being young, she said she was in her 30s, but... I don't know. Now, let me see. Well, let me come on this, I remember.
No. No. Don't know of anything like that happening.
Like my theory isn't much good, Vic. We've tramped this neighborhood for 4 full days now.
And we'll keep on tramping. As you said, we've got nothing else to work on. It's getting close to the deadline.
Yeah.
5 days have passed since the last one.
Yeah.
So, let's keep going.
No new developments regarding the stranglings in the Collingsford area. Police are still mystified.
Edwin, are you in there?
Yes, Dad.
What are you doing here in the attic?
Oh, just sitting here, Dad.
What's that you're holding behind you?
Oh,
show it to me.
Yes, Dad.
A newspaper.
Found it in the street.
How many times have I told you not to read newspapers? Blasphemy, dirt, filth. It's the work of the devil.
Yes, Dad.
Now listen to me. If I see you looking at a newspaper or a magazine again, I'll take the strap to you. You're not too old for that, you know. Not while you're still living in my house.
Yes, Dad.
And remember it. Your mother has been ready.
I'll go straight out.
Have you washed yet?
Yes.
Let me see your hands. Look at that dirt beneath your fingernails. Will you never learn to understand that cleanliness is goodness? A clean body and a clean mind. How many times do I have to tell you about that? How many times?
Sorry, Dad.
Wash your hands and face thoroughly before you come down to dinner.
Yes, Dad. Yes. Tenderness is goodness. Yes,
Ruth, she was dark. Dark and evil. Evil. So the others must be, too, all of them. That's why I do it. That's why.
Well, Biff, next we interview all the shopkeepers in this area.
Now, my theory looks sillier as we go along.
We're getting closer to that deadline as we go along, too. Anything's better than sitting and waiting. Well, here we are. Miller's Confectionery.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
I'm Sergeant Weston. This is Detective Brooks.
Homicide.
Oh, how do you do? I'm David Miller. What can I do for you, Sergeant?
We're investigating the stranglings in this area, Mr. Miller. We thought that perhaps you might be able to help us.
I don't see how, Sergeant. But, of course, if I can, well, I'll be only too happy to.
Thanks. What I have to ask you may seem strange, Mr. Miller, but believe me, it can be very important.
Yes?
We're working on a theory that a man in this district may have been, well, jilted or insulted in some way by a girl. Say, during the last 3 or 4 months. A pretty girl with dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any such thing happening? A girl of that description breaking an engagement, perhaps?
Well, no. No, not a broken engagement. Oh, but there was Ruth Jenkins.
Yeah.
Ruth moved away from here with her parents about 3 months ago. She was a very pretty girl. Brunette, too.
And did she have trouble of some kind with a local fella?
Trouble, yes. Well, not trouble, exactly.
Well, think hard, Mr. Miller, and let me know everything you know about it.
Yes, well, as far as I remember the facts, it's like this. One of the local lads was very fond of her.
Uh-huh.
Ruth used to come here often with her girlfriends for milkshakes and sodas, that sort of thing, you know. Every now and then, this lad would stop at the window and sort of look in at her.
Yeah.
Never took his eyes off her. Well, one night, when she was here with a few girls, I happened to hear what she was saying. And it seems that this fellow stopped Ruth on the street and told her he was in love with her. According to Ruth, he was very upset when she said she was interested in another boy. Come to think of it now, I haven't seen the lad around more than once or twice since Ruth moved away.
What was this boy's name?
Sloan. Edward Sloan.
In a moment, we return to our story, Assignment in the Dark.
How much do you know about this Edward Sloan, Mr. Miller?
Not very much, Sergeant. He's a tall, thin, very quiet lad, and shy, extremely shy. As a matter of fact, I wonder how he ever got the courage to speak to Ruth, assuming that she was telling the truth about that, of course.
Yeah. Where does this fellow live?
Maple Street. Big white wood frame house.
Does he live with his parents?
Yes.
What sort of people are they?
Well,
now, whatever you have to say will be kept in confidence, Mr. Miller. In fact, we don't want you to mention anything about this interview either.
Very well, Sergeant.
Now, Edward Sloan's parents.
Well, they're funny sort of people, always quoting from the scriptures. Look down their noses at other people.
Uh-huh.
Another thing, you hardly ever see his mother outside the house, and she never entertains.
And the father?
Mr. Sloan is a tall man with a beard. Walks as straight as a ramrod. I've never known him to smile. A very straight-laced, strict living man. Keeps young Edward right under his thumb.
And does Edward have any friends?
None that I know of. He keeps to himself.
Anything else you can tell me?
I don't think so, Sergeant.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Miller. And don't forget, you're not to mention this interview.
You can depend on me, Sergeant.
Fine. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah. I think we've got something, Dick.
Could be.
Where do we go now?
Headquarters.
To see if we've got Edward Sloan on the books, huh?
Yeah. Well, he was never arrested. Never in trouble of any kind.
That doesn't have to mean anything.
No. No, but doesn't.
What next?
We'll have a look at Edward Sloan. Then we'll keep our eyes on him.
Edward! Yes, Dad. I was just going out.
Come here, Edmund.
Yes, Dad. What is it, Dad?
Where are you going?
Just for a walk.
It's getting late.
It's only 6:05.
It'll be dark soon. I don't like you on the streets after dark.
I'll get home before it gets dark, Dad.
Make sure that you do. I'll be very angry if you're late.
I won't be late.
You'll know what to expect if you are.
Somebody's leaving the house now, Cliff.
Yeah. It's young Edward Sloan, all right.
We'll stay in the car till he gets further on. Then we'll get out. Follow.
He's almost to the train station.
You know, two of the girls who were killed had just left that station.
He's stopping.
Here. Get behind his hedge.
Can you see him from there, Vic?
Yeah. Yeah, he's leaning against the wall, about 20 yards down from the station steps.
I can see the station steps perfectly from here. Train must have just arrived. Big crowd coming down the steps. A couple of girls amongst them.
He doesn't seem very interested. He's just standing there.
Hey, Vic, a brunette, alone.
Now he's interested. He stepped away from the wall. Which way did that girl go?
Down Belmont Street.
That's exactly where he's heading. Come on.
There's no doubt in the world about it now. He's following that brunette.
Yeah.
Maybe we'd better get closer, huh?
No. He's still 50 yards or so from the girl. If he finds out he's being followed, we won't stand
a chance.
Got against the wall.
He's gone behind one of those trees along the road.
Yeah. Probably having a look around.
You think he can see us?
No. We're in heavy shadow here. Sun's almost down.
There he goes again.
We'll wait a few seconds, and we'll keep in the shadow of those trees. Right, Cliff.
No cars or people in sight. He's getting closer to her now, Vic.
Don't get excited. If he sees us, it'll ruin everything.
Yeah, but the girl...
If he tries anything, we'll get to her before any harm's done. Now, take it easy.
She turned into another street.
Yeah. Grove Avenue. It's very badly lit.
Just about dark. Any minute he might... Nicky crossed the street. He's going past her.
Stand here for a while.
And look, he's well past her now.
He might double back.
No, he's going straight on. I can't see him anymore. False alarm. And I thought we finally had our man.
He might still be our man, Cliff. He may have followed her just to see where she lived.
And keep it for another night, huh?
Yeah. I'd give a lot to know what's on his mind right now.
Grove Avenue. There's a vacant lot next to that house here today. Weed-grown lot. I can hide there and wait. I'll show you, Ruth. I'll show you. Again and again and again.
We'll be back in a minute to Peril and our story, Assignment in the Dark.
Well, I got a full report on the girl without showing you a hand, Cliff.
Good.
Her name is Summer Morgan. She works in the city and gets the same train every night. Those are the parents in that house she entered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way I see it, she's safe till she turns into Grove Avenue. Now, I figure Edward Sloan will be waiting somewhere on that street.
Yeah, but you never know with a guy like that. He might follow her from the station again.
That'll be all right. We'll have a man on duty near the station.
Oh? How about us?
We'll be on Grove Avenue, near the house. In the back of a delivery van.
5 after 6.
Yeah. She ought to be here any minute.
There she is, Vic.
Yeah.
Give me some room at this window, will you?
Yeah.
And look, it's almost like she's cooperating with us. You couldn't possibly miss her in that white dress.
Keep your eyes peeled for Sloan.
Uh-huh. And what's the procedure if he tries something?
How far over his head? If he makes a run for it, shoot to knock him over.
She's almost directly across the street from us now.
Only 100 yards or so before she gets to the house. All she has to do is pass that vacant lot, and she's home.
She's reached the lot.
If anything is going to happen, it's got to happen very soon.
Vic!
Yeah, I see him. Just behind her. He was in the lot.
What's getting him?
Wait a second.
There he goes! He's got her.
Come on.
He's trying to drag her into the lot. All right, you, let her alone.
Help!
Help! He let her go. He's running into the lot.
Where's the lead? That's what I planned.
I'll have to go after him. You stay with the girl.
Under control, so go on back to your homes. You can read about it in the newspaper tomorrow. Come on now, come on, go back to your home.
Beth,
I'll Vic, what happened?
I followed him over a few fences and I lost him. Did you phone in?
Yeah, from the girl's house. There are prowl cars all over the area.
And the girl?
She's all right. But I phoned for a doctor just to make sure.
Good man. Well, I sure lost that one up.
He had everything in his favor, Vic. You couldn't shoot to hit him because the girl was in the way. Anyhow, we could still have an arrest warrant made out.
Yeah, but that's the hard way. Don't forget, it was pitch dark. We can't swear it was Edward Sloan. So there's a very good chance that he can talk himself out of it. Unless...
Unless she got a look at his face.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sergeant. If it hadn't been for you and Detective Fulton...
That's all right. I'm only sorry we had to wait for him to make a move before showing ourselves.
I understand. You wanted evidence.
Yeah. But I'm afraid we don't have enough evidence. Unless you can help us.
I think I can, Sergeant.
You mean you got a look at his face?
Yes.
Do you think you'd recognize him if you saw him again?
I think so.
Well, Cliff?
Yeah. Line up. All right, you men. Line up with your backs to the wall. Hey, back to the wall, Shorty.
Sorry, Sarge.
Okay. Fine. All ready, Sarge.
Thanks, Cliff. Now, Miss Morgan, I want you to look at each of the 12 men on that lineup very carefully. One of them may be the man who attacked you the other night. Now, remember one thing. You must be absolutely sure before you point out a man.
Yes, Sergeant. There! That man, the third from the left.
All right. Third from the left. Step forward, please. Now, take another good look, Miss Morgan.
He doesn't have to look. It was me. I'm not ashamed. I have nothing to be ashamed of. Greater than us is goodness, and she's dark and evil. I'm only sorry I didn't destroy her like I did all the others. I'm only sorry.
All right. Take him away.
Concludes tonight's peril story, Assignment in the Dark.